I would like to call to order the Otter Rock Water District Board Work Session on August 12th, 2020. Roll call. Let's do it verbally. Dan?
Present.
Pat?
Present.
Lisa?
Present.
Buzz?
Present.
And Beth is present. And our public in attendance is Patty and Dan Hart. So our first order of business is board roles and title assignments. I see from the Oregon statute we are supposed to have a president, a secretary, and a treasurer at minimum. I'm sure we could also assign, create other roles. We might want to have a vice president. Vice president usually just steps in for the president. We know who the treasurer is.
Right.
I'd be willing to give up that at any moment.
Oh, would you? Gee, that's a surprise. That's a big job.
It is.
So,
the board in the past has had always had a vice president.
What?
Well, actually, when Rod stepped down and Buck came in, at that point we had a chair and we had a treasurer, and none of the other roles were actually assigned.
You weren't assigned vice president?
At some point last year, Buck asked me if I would be vice to preside when he wasn't there. And he had a meeting coming up that he knew he was not going to be able to attend because there was a conflict. And I said, yes, but I can probably do that. But I know I'm going to be out of town a lot. And so I don't think I ever acknowledged to him or anybody else that I was acknowledging some sort of automatic succession when he abruptly resigned. And I'm still in the situation, as you guys know, I've been in Arizona most of 2020.
Okay.
And although my father is now in better health, my mother continues to decline. He has, especially with the COVID, he doesn't really have much help at all. And I may well need to be headed back down there. In fact, I think some of you know, I've even wondered if I should stay on the board at all. I've brought that up before, as opposed to serving as a volunteer. So that's why a chunk of this is my fault. And also naivete, not realizing that we needed to have these, because obviously we, as far as decision making goes, we tend to collaborate and we have tasks that we do. But I, apparently we need, A, by statute we're supposed to have it, and B, apparently there's a reason for it. For example, they have to have somebody to tag as the primary contact point for the board from the outside world. I can't remember the last time we actually had a secretary. Maybe we did, but the record keeping was always delegated to the office person. So we may want to have someone who's willing to do the summary. I have to say I'm a little reluctant to give up the summary and just go with the recording only and make people listen to a long meeting to find out what went on. But I think the summary can be really short.
Well, yeah. The secretary doesn't necessarily have to always be taking and working up in the minute. They're in charge of that.
In charge of that.
Responsible for making sure they get done. And, yeah. And then, so do we have any... Pat sent out some documents, one of which has quite a list of different tasks or responsibilities that different members of a board might have. What do they have? It goes on and on, but... did everyone have a chance to look at that?
Did you want one of us to read the job descriptions?
No, it's too long.
Yeah, it is long.
It's too much, and there's this looks more like it's designed for, reviews with the chief executive. So it's probably a thing that came from nonprofits or something.
Yeah.
Bigger organization than what we have.
Yes.
But right. We can easily cross off those things that don't apply.
Yeah.
Right. But they've got
to decide on what officers we are going to have. What
I think that would be a good first step. Well, we know the three are mandated by the state statute that we're supposed to have. And then like I mentioned, maybe we would like to have a vice chair, a vice president, who usually just takes over when the president cannot do.
Did anybody come across a description of what the duties of the secretary are? Should be within the ORSs or from SDAO?
Not from there. I did put together a few things, like be responsible for the minutes of each meeting. Of course, they said keep accurate minutes, but this is just short. Develops the agenda for all meetings with the assistance from the president, maintain records of the board and ensure effective management.
Say that last one again. Records of?
Maintain records of the board and ensure effective management of district records. This would be the long version. Assist the presiding commissioner in Robert's Rules of Order would be another thing that I saw mentioned in several. That was all that I picked out that I thought applied or could apply to us for the secretary. Mm-hmm. And that's quite a bit, so.
What would definition of records of the board be, Bev?
Would be for making sure we have copies of the minutes somewhere, for resolutions, for ordinances.
That part of the job has always been this office secretary job.
Right, but this is a board person who is responsible for having that being done, whether they actually do it or not.
To oversee that.
To oversee mm-hmm. it, right. Make sure that the district has all the records that we need and we can find them.
Okay. Yeah, that's a good one. Okay.
And helps develop the agenda for all meetings with assistance from the president. So that's what I got for that one mm-hmm. on a more simplistic thing. Any views on this, Lisa?
Any what?
Any views? Any opinions?
I think we should just ask who wants to volunteer for what position.
Well, one thing that was mentioned last night is people wanted to know, or some of us wanted to know what the different roles would be responsible for, the duties were. So, but yes, I agree with you.
In the past, too, there has been somebody who's been in charge of kind of overseeing what goes on with the community center and volunteers and use of the community center, which we may someday be back to needing.
We may. That could be tucked in somewhere. Possibly the vice president.
Excuse.
It wouldn't be huge.
Stan, did you have a comment?
Me?
Yeah.
I did not. Well, yeah, I can make some comments. I just got here, so. One thing, I'd like to defend Buzz. I just want to say this. I'd like to defend Buzz. I went and talked to him, too. He's not trying to set anything up. He's not trying to deal with the agenda. He's a commissioner talking to people in the district. That's all he is.
Yeah, Stan, we're talking about officer roles right now.
Okay, all I want to do is throw that in.
Okay.
I have no comment.
Okay. Any other comments about possible roles that we would have here? Any other duties that we need? Pat mentioned, the community center, kind of coordinating that once it becomes open again. Okay, does anyone want to volunteer to be the secretary?
I think that's something I could probably manage, and I'm doing some of it already.
What about vice president? Vice president would assist the president, and in the absence of the president would kind of help out and perform duties that they would do otherwise.
I would do either, whatever people want. I'm more than willing to, you know, be the president or the vice president. It doesn't matter.
Buzz, you indicated last night you probably didn't really want any role as far as an official title role.
I said I didn't want a title. I'll fulfill a role.
You'd go with a role?
Already playing a role. As a...
I'm already filling. I just didn't want a title for it.
Mm-hmm. You're a commissioner.
Mm-hmm.
We're all commissioners.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Could I point out that there really is no position description at all for treasurer?
I've got one.
You have something? You just happened to? Okay, good. Would you send that out? I'd like to take a look.
Okay, do you want me to?
And?
I've only got 4 points on it.
Oh.
Provide the district with general financial oversight, oversee and present budgets, accounts, and financial statements, manage bank accounts and oversee systems for bookkeeping, payments, and financial record keeping, and ensure compliance with relevant legislation regarding finances. I will send this out.
Okay. Yes, please. I couldn't keep up with that.
That's how general
it is. We also need to describe in here who manages our employees since we do not have a general manager.
Right, but let's first get our, we need our officers. Or we're really supposed to elect. So I'm gonna open nominations for secretary.
I nominate Dan to be the secretary.
Okay. Any other nominations?
I'll second that one.
Okay, you don't need to second a nomination.
Oh. Okay, thank you.
You can, but it's not needed at all. You just have to have any other nominations?
I will nominate Lisa to be vice president.
We're still on secretary. Oh. I'm just calling to make sure there's any other nominations for secretary.
Okay.
Hearing none, nominations are closed. Okay, nominations for vice president?
I would like to nominate Lisa to be vice president.
Okay. Any other nominations? Any other nominations?
I'd like to nominate Beth to be president.
No. We're still on vice president.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yep.
I lost the track.
I'm too entrenched in Robert's Rules of Order. This is the way you do it. Yep. Hearing none, nominations are closed for vice president. Any nominations for president?
I will not. I'd like to nominate Beth for president.
Okay, you do realize that the president can delegate.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Definitely.
Any other nominations for president? Any other nominations for president? Hearing none, nominations are closed for president. I would entertain a motion, since there is only one nominee per office, that I will entertain a motion to just automatically, I can't remember the verbiage, put in place the nominees for each of the officers.
I move that we elect the slate of single nominees to the offices.
Is there a second?
I second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Lisa? Dan?
Aye.
Kat?
Aye.
Okay. Buzz? Aye. Was that aye? Are you abstaining?
Excuse me?
Are you voting or not voting?
I said aye.
Okay, we need to do it verbally, because when we have the audio recording, people can't hear the hands going up.
I said
okay, I didn't hear you. Thank you, sorry. And Beth will vote aye. So five ayes. No nays, motion carries. Okay, we're done with that part. I will send this other thing out. I think we can refine the actual verbiage of what we want each of these duties to fulfill via emails. And we can maybe read them off at a meeting. So the next I am in business is state water treatment order and our response for that. Who wants to start?
I will.
Thank you, Buzz.
We need to, what we're trying to achieve with the letter, number one, is an extension. That's the first priority. And as Lisa pointed out last night, we don't really have a clue where the money's coming from, regardless of what we tell them. And I think I replied, well, we got to tell them something. So I would suggest some verbiage to the effect about where we are, where we've been, and something to the effect that about the weather in January, short time frame, and send it to them and with our fingers crossed and see what they say. I think just a reply, a timely reply that says something.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to lie.
No.
Maybe creative. We'll do it. Just keep up a dialogue, be proactive. And I'm, I guess I'm the guy that brought about all the complexity about what the heck is we're going to do. So I would volunteer to write something up as a draft and let y'all take your shots at it. Try to get written ASAP.
Right.
That'd be great.
Yeah, it would be.
That would be lovely.
Yes. And I agree. We need to say that we have to arrange funding for this. It's not something we can just pull funding out of a hat for, that the weather and construction are an issue. Would it be appropriate to also include that we are in the process of developing some sort of an infrastructure rehabilitation plan, and we'll need to integrate that into it?
Oh yeah, that, I think that would be the framework.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
That sounds good.
That's kind of where we are, right? We're in the middle
yes.
of trying to...
Yeah, we're just want to let them know we're being proactive.
Right.
Should we also, though, would this be an appropriate time yet to contact an engineer such as our consulting engineer we've been using to get some idea of what we're looking at?
Let's chat tonight about that. Let's just try to figure out what we're looking at. You know, Pat wrote an email that you responded to and I responded to that I felt like we were putting the cart before the horse. Starting out, when I went into the meeting last night, I was a little apprehensive about bringing up that I did not want to support the full scope. Mm-hmm. And I as I told Lisa, I respect the viewpoint that we need to do the whole thing. There's a lot of compelling reasons, technically and financially, not just technically, really, to do it, and financially.
Mm-hmm.
So I presented it as an idea that I wasn't supporting it because of the letter and mostly because of affordability. And I presented an alternative. But that was an idea. And I was prepared to accept four other replies of not only no, but hell no, a motion to soldier on with this, doing the whole thing at one time. And and I was surprised that a little bit about Dan and just kind of there was maybe some wiggle room in what you guys were thinking about it being maybe not that bad an idea. So that's where I'm coming from right now.
Yeah.
Well, Buzz, I didn't jump in on any emails there, but I used to be a news junkie. I've been staying away from the news lately, but to a large degree, but I have been. I'm very concerned about our economy right now and the future and the, you know, affordability for people. And I think that's showing up in some of our past due accounts. Mm-hmm. And I'm real concerned. I know a lot of us are retired. We often have a fixed income. Some of us have been able to have full-time jobs. I know my kids are struggling like crazy. And of course now I'm helping them. But it's getting real scary out there. And I have been having more and more reservations about putting a huge financial burden on the community and seeing, you know, our economy going into a dive.
I'm sorry, I didn't.
No, go ahead.
Well, one thing I didn't, it's obvious, but let me just state the obvious. This plan B I'm talking about, we'll be rolling the dice on the integrity of the distribution system.
Mm-hmm.
And there's so much we don't know about it. And there are some remedial repairs, even if we decide to do just the tank site. There's some things I wrote today in an email, just for example, that bridge. There's a leak we were going to put in as a special project that we never did. On Ellie near First Street. We found some rotten pipe at Barry Brown subdivision when they tied in. If we do have a line break, right now, the for sure way, the only way I know to not have the entire contents of our tank drain is to run up there and shut off the main valve so nobody has water. But that said, we do have other valves in the system. And I've recently seen a couple of them found, one on Second Street and one up there when we had that accident that hadn't been operated in many years, as far as I know, and they worked. So if we did have a break, I'm kind of segueing off into a little bit different. If we do have a break and we knew where the valves were and we knew that we could operate them, maybe there's a few we can't. we maybe can replace those valves. Jim was always very, very cautious about even attempting that. He said it was a bad idea, but
to do what? Replace them?
Yeah, because of the transite pipe. But if we knew we did have a line break, and we knew where the valves were, if they were leaking it, but if we could shut them mostly off, and that's the way we'd be finding the bad valves, and not, we wouldn't have to shut down the whole town.
Yeah.
And just that knowledge, that ability would take away a lot of the risk factor in maybe postponing rehabilitation system if we knew we could isolate a line that was leaking and not shut off the entire district from water. Those kinds of things.
Yeah, I mean, I agree from a technical and from the ultimate cost point of view, you know, those are arguments for the whole enchilada. But I also have great qualms about imposing that kind of a rate increase. I mean, it wouldn't be an easy thing even in flush times, but a part of me really, really wants to go for the whole project, and part of me just really doubts that that's realistic. But I guess we haven't heard enough from the community once they understand what our current situation is to know that for sure. That's why I guess I didn't understand that we were going to have a prepared presentation, and that's why I knew Buzz was starting to talk to a few people in town just to kind of fill them in on the infrastructure situation, and that's why I thought that's what we were going to be doing. So I wasn't upset by Buzz starting to talk to people in town. I do also agree, I think, that we need a broader outreach, and that is going to take finishing preparing some materials for the public. But I really find myself of two minds. Yes, it would cost the least to get it done now, for sure. But we'd still have to pay for it. And it's you know, getting people to pay up front for the long haul. That's hard for a lot of people.
It's going to be really hard for all of us if we have no water.
Mm-hmm.
My main issue, and this is because I've seen the funding go away.
Yes.
It's going away.
Well, it might be not already anyway.
Yeah. Well, no, it's not. I asked. And she said, we better do it now because in 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, 6 years, 20 years, it's not going to be there for us.
Mm-hmm.
And that is my main concern, because we don't have any, choices. Mm-hmm. I mean, yes, we can wait and the interest rates will go up and the materials and all that crap. And yes, but I don't think waiting 5 years, I don't think people are going to save and be prepared any more than they already are.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we already know, we knew 3 years ago that this was coming, and everyone is still up in arms about it. And I understand, because I'm one of the people, I can't afford it. Mm-hmm. I mean, honestly, I have to sacrifice in order to pay this monthly fee, but I want to live here and there's no choice. I mean, honestly, there's just no choice. There's no one going to bail us out. And the loan process with these federal and state loans, it's going to take us at least 6 months to a year to a year and a half before we even get the money for the loan. After we have to apply, and then it takes them that long to give us the money. Mm-hmm. And we don't have to start raising the fee until right. we get the money and we start drawing down on it, obviously. But and we don't have to start paying it back until the whole thing's done. So it could be 5 years from now, or 3 years from now, or however long it takes the project, is when our first payment is due. So we can start raising it and have a little cushion to help those people who can't afford it, and then keep it and, you know, 6 months, raise it, and, you know, whatever, until the project is done. And we have to, and then it's between 6 months and a year before we have to start making that first payment. So we've got a long ways to go. It's not just, you know, we can't just go to the bank and say, hey, I want $666,000, and they give it to us the next day. It's just not going to happen.
Could you come up with some type of schedule that we could look at for doing internal raises?
It depends on which loan we go for. The state loan, we get the money faster. The federal loan, according to Business Oregon, we have to go in and we have to pre-apply. And depending on when it hits in their financial section, it could be 6 months to a year before they even pre-approve us. And then we have to go in and start the approval process.
Okay, so the total time difference in the two is what?
It really depends on how it hits them, and we won't know until we go in there and decide on a course of action. So the state funds,
one might be 2 years and one might be 1 year, or I mean, I'm just asking general.
My best guess without...
I won't hold you to it entirely. I'm just trying to get a concept.
Yeah, the state one could be anywhere between a year and, well, 8 months to 2 years, depending on when that hits their schedules. If they can look at it right away, it'll go faster. If we mm-hmm. have to wait, the state is a lot easier, but we have to, and it has a lot less loopholes to go through, so that'll be quicker. It's probably going to be 6 to 8 months, I'm guessing.
Well, that's not very much time to do increments.
Yeah, but that's just the loan. That's getting the loan.
Right.
We don't have to make a payment until after the project is done. And then
do we have an estimate of how long this project will take?
I don't know.
Do you have any idea? Is this a 2-year project from beginning of actually doing the work?
Honestly, I hadn't thought in terms of time. I don't know. I can find out. I'd have to ask Cascade. He would have a better handle for it.
Okay. Do you see where I'm going?
Yeah.
Trying to get to is like, what could we look at as an incremental increase? Do we have we have another guest here tonight? Michael's iPad?
That's Janice and Mike.
Okay. I didn't see them earlier.
There's
Hi.
Please. Okay, yeah.
Okay.
Which project, which scope of which project are we talking about at the moment?
This is whatever scope, I think.
I think this is...
Choose.
How much money we get, it has all the same time schedules.
Mm-hmm. For
it doesn't matter starting. If we borrow $3.35 million or $666 million.
But then we have the time to complete it, which would be different. Depending.
Yes, it would be a lot shorter.
Right.
We'd have to start paying it back a lot sooner.
But
in theory.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, we have to raise the rate, even if there was some ramp up. The rate's still going to have to be at the rate required to pay back the loan at the time we start servicing the loan, correct?
Oh, yeah.
I thought, Dan, I thought you said that we did not have enough residents to do a bond.
Oh,
that was a bond. We're talking loan.
You're talking the loan. Okay.
Yeah, we're talking about loan. I think, let me ask the rest of the board. I think the consensus is that the bond is just way too expensive.
Okay. That's fine. I was just checking.
I mean, one of the theoretical appeals until we looked at the numbers was trying to spread the expense out amongst more people, but it's a lot more expense spread. Is that a fair summation? It's a lot more expense spread out amongst some more people.
Okay.
And it, when I ran a spreadsheet and I had Dale double check me on it, he's an accountant, it was shocking how low a property value you needed to have to the point where paying the increased rate was a lot cheaper than trying to pay the taxes.
Okay.
So.
Okay, I understand. Thank you. I must have misunderstood where we were in the discussion. Thank you for clarifying that.
Anybody have any additions or corrections to what I just said? Okay.
No. Okay, well, I can play with a spreadsheet with that information maybe. Or Dan could. Dan likes spreadsheets too, I can see that.
I'm no expert, but I find them helpful because
the
reason I ran that one spreadsheet just looking at the bond cost correlated with different levels of taxable property value was I just need, you know, concrete examples.
Mm-hmm.
And that gave me some concrete examples, which, I mean, I knew it wasn't going to be pretty, but I didn't realize it was going to be nearly as ugly as it turned out to be.
Right.
So I assume we're the board is of the same mind that whatever we fund, we will be funding it with the loan and preferably with the lower. I think the state loan, besides the state loan, had a small grant with it, right?
Yes.
1,000. The other one doesn't. And as I also recall off the top of my head, the state loan had somewhat lower interest rate.
Yes, but they also have more restrictions.
The state does.
The state does. No, the federal. It's the federal that has the $100,000 grant.
Well, it is the federal. Okay, I got.
Yep, the federal that has the $100,000 and the lower interest rate. The state is all from lottery funds and it's a lot more loosey goosey.
Uh huh. And have you heard any whispers about what lottery funds are looking like with the recession?
She says to get it. She says to get your funding in.
Okay.
So I asked her last night.
Scramble. Okay.
Well, not scramble, but she said it's not, you shouldn't wait for a long time.
Right. So the reservoir isn't dry. That particular reservoir isn't dry yet.
No. But, you know, if it's any indication of the, you know, the state parks and stuff, that's not.
Yeah.
That's how they get their money, you know, they're hurting.
Okay. What topic are we on? I keep getting confused in these meetings.
Well, we're talking about the, I think, I'll tell you why. We're talking about both the infrastructure, project, the financing of it, and the scope of it.
Right.
Does everyone
right. So we just kind of segued into our next topic. Are we done talking about our letter to the state? I think we are, right?
Yeah.
Buzz is going to start it off and pass around.
One question.
Yeah.
assuming we, regardless of scope, if we went for the this is saying 6 to 8 months, and I'm assuming if you really hustled, it would take a month to get all the application in and everything. So it'd be about 9 months. So as related, as it relates to the letter to the state about chlorination, that's about, you know, we'd be talking the soonest before chlorination was in place, another year after we got the money. So we'd be wind up telling them it'd be a year and 9 months, correct me if I'm wrong, before we'd have the chlorination in place. And I can tell them that. But I just wanted to be sure.
Do we have any idea what a chlorination project would entail and cost?
I have no idea, Pat. I know there's a possibility that we could jury-rig a chlorination shed, get a tough shed, fix the line on spring three, run on 120 electric line to it, put a vat, an HTH, and a metering pump on that line, and there's just one teensy little problem with that. I'm not sure that spring three by itself could supply enough water during the summer, because we wouldn't have spring one concluding. It would be just all spring two, whatever happens to dribble into spring three from Dope Creek from spring two, and then just the wet well at spring three. Short answer is, I don't know if there's enough water in spring three to get us through the summer. So
you're talking about if you're installing the system.
If we came up with a system in lieu of trying to go at it in a systematic way with the plans and specs and an integrated system with the new tank site and everything, a Rube Goldberg system that we could afford, maybe, that would be the alternative.
Do we know if the state would allow us to do that?
No, I have no clue. Oh, you mean would allow us to chlorinate that way? Probably.
Yes.
Sure.
Probably, as long as we pass the test pass, right?
Say that again? Yeah.
As long as we are testing passed.
They wouldn't like it in the summertime if we ran out of water.
Yeah.
Neither would our users, but, you know, what the heck.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Would we still be testing if we were chlorinating?
Yeah, you have to.
Oh, yeah, you have to. Okay. You have to know if you're chlorinating enough. And
okay, so you're still sending in samples containing chlorine.
You're testing for chlorine. I'm kind of on thin ice here, Dan. Mm-hmm. But what I've read is, I think you have to test for chlorine residual at different points in the system.
Right.
And you have to sample, and I haven't quite figured out why.
You need to demonstrate your residual, and then you also need to demonstrate that residual is sufficient to overcome the bacteria, so that there are any bacteria coexisting.
You have to demonstrate that there's no coliform bacteria in water, even though there's chlorine present. I don't get
it. Got it. Thank you.
Sort of, you know, I don't know. Sorry.
Right. Well, I suppose if you weren't doing it enough, you could still have some, right?
Say that again.
If you weren't chlorinating enough, you might not be killing off all the coliform.
Yeah, there may be
eliminating dead. It.
There may be dead spots. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right.
Right.
Is there any thing we would have to be concerned about with how chlorine would react with our tank and our pipes? Is there any science on that that anybody knows of?
The only thing I've read is that if you put too much chlorine in, it drives the pH down and the acidity up.
Jim was mentioning that.
Say that again?
Jim was mentioning that. Since we're already starting with acidic water, it was kind of a, eh.
Yeah. And they even put another chemical in to keep that from happening. So it gets real complicated.
Right, right. So, yeah, that's what Jim was saying. I was talking to him once, and it wasn't just a matter of chlorinating. It's starting to do some other chemical additives to counteract.
I think it's called soda ash.
Yeah.
Called what?
I think it's calcium carbonate.
Oh. Calcium carbonate, yeah. Okay.
Your basic antacid.
Yeah.
Baking soda.
Buzz, this is going to be a short tangent. Do we have any indication of the amount of organic material, non-living organic material that's in our water? That's not something I see on the consumer confidence report.
I've never seen a test, but boy, you hold up a glass of water and it's crystal clear. It's the prettiest I've ever seen.
The reason I bring that up is some people worry greatly about the health effects of chlorination. You know, the small risks versus the very real risk of, getting cholera if you don't, in say a city or something like that. I just wanted to say that in water that appears to be as clean overall as ours, with apparently a low amount of organic material in the water, that risk goes down.
In that lecture, and actually from 50 years ago when I was in school, but more recently, this class that Cody and I and Joe Howery attended, he talked a lot about overchlorinating and if you have organic material in the water, some organic materials, I don't know, if you were sucking it out of the Mississippi River, there's probably a lot.
Yeah.
You can get some organic compounds that the chlorine attaches to, and that material is believed to be carcinogenic.
Right, right. It's not the chlorine itself. It's when it interacts with organic material. That's just a minor tangent I wanted to bring up. That
no, it's what the instructor said is you avoid overchlorinating. I forget the numbers he talked about, but they were pretty high. It seemed like 3 or 4 parts per million.
Mm-hmm.
But we have to do it. So it's
I mean, there's no question. And people who are anxious about it or sensitive to the taste will have the option of doing filtration at the house.
Yes.
Some of that out, which is what I have to do in Arizona because I can taste it since I'm used to the water here.
That's true. Yeah. When we're down there.
But that's end of tangent.
All right, I'll just write the letter.
Okay.
Could I ask a question? I realize the numbers are showing up that this for the state that we need to chlorinate our water. Has any community members ever reported being ill from drinking our water?
No, Patty.
That anybody knows of?
No.
Okay, no. Just curious. Thank you.
I'm not aware the district has ever had a boil order.
No.
I've lived here 40 years. We've never had a boil alert.
Right.
Thank you.
Okay.
Okay.
I'll just write the letter, you know.
Great.
Go off online, and I hope you guys will all take a shot at it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. We'll definitely look at it and give our opinion. So, now we're done with the state water treatment discussion. Is that correct? Does anybody have anything else they want to add to that?
Well, just sorry to prolong this. So we'll write the letter and just what happens after that? It's kind of an open end, I'm sorry, but.
Well, it's an open end because then we have
to
hear a response.
Do we need to wait for the back and forth of letters of the state before talking to the engineer? I don't think so.
No.
Good point.
So do I would say we should start making some preparations.
Yeah. Sometimes the last time I met with Jonathan, or talked to Jonathan, I met him over in Corvallis by myself. I was thinking about this morning. I really would, apart from Pat, the rest of you have only met him briefly and never had a sit down discussion with him.
Right.
I'd kind of like somebody to go over with me. If it was more than one time, perhaps, I mean, if it evolves into a situation where I have to have a sit down with him to go through this, I'd like to invite somebody along. And that's a little awkward because of the COVID and the close proximity of a car. I guess it doesn't bother me, but somebody might want to go, somebody you may, if you agree, may want to take you on.
How about Zoom?
How about what?
A Zoom meeting with him.
I can ask him.
Well, that way all of us could listen.
Mm-hmm.
I'll ask him.
Okay.
So do we need to resolve or do anything officially, or just say, let's go ahead and start talking to him about options for chlorination and be willing to pay?
First time.
I'll ask him about chlorinating. I'll ask him about if a reduced scope is still on the table. I don't know if it is. And he's already, so those two subjects, and then he's well versed in the third subject, which is the complete scope. So if that comes up, we'll talk about it.
Okay. I'm comfortable with paying for his opinions.
All right. Bill, I'm sorry, we can go to the next subject. I don't have any more questions.
Well, we have been talking about the next subject, because that's infrastructure scope and funding option.
I missed out.
You're on.
Hello?
Hello, Michael.
Can I backtrack for just a second? I two things. It seemed to me I heard in the report from the, I can't remember his name, your engineer or whatever last night, the pathogens, in other words, there might be a way around chlorinating. But if there's not, I really think you ought to be getting word out to the community that this is coming, because those of us that have lived here 40 or 50 years and have come accustomed and proud of our unchlorinated water, this is, for some people, I know it's probably inevitable, but it's going to be hard to swallow.
Yes.
That's all I had to say.
Right.
So Michael, when you say getting the word out, you mean like we put together a message that we send out via email or letter or what?
Yes, right. Anything like that. Just to say, this is the situation. Please be advised. Thank you. That's it.
Well, It was my intention to bring, thank you for bringing that up.
Okay.
It was my intention to bring up that I would compose an email to the community about this now that we've had a little more chance to talk about it, mm-hmm. and have some steps that we're going to take, then I think, yeah, rather than wait any longer, I think it would be appropriate to...
That'd be appreciated, I think.
Yeah, and and that's something, after the rest of you review it, I can send out on the ORWD News email,
right.
which gets a lot of people in the community.
Do we have an idea? And I should have already worked with a spreadsheet on this one, but how many of our customers we do have email contact with?
Well, I can tell you right 25%? Now. I can do that for you very quickly.
Okay.
If you guys want to keep talking, I'll be back in a minute.
Okay.
Well, can I say one thing? If
who's talking?
This is Janice.
Oh,
hi. Hi. Hey, if you have everybody's address, obviously for billing, sometimes a old snail mail and old school paper letter mailing would, or a postcard would reach everybody for sure.
Right. That's why I was asking about the email. But it does,
about 35 customers who get their bills by snail mail.
Right, but you do have everyone's address.
Oh, yeah.
Right, yeah. We have both.
Right. So I'm just kind of old school thinking a paper letter in the mail may reach more people than emails or our websites.
I agree with Janice on that point wholeheartedly, because believe me, I'm not sure that many people even know that the Otter Rock Water District has a website
right.
to look at.
I think we will probably, if we really want people to see it, we may need to try to get eyeballs both directions.
I agree.
And on the website is not going to be, I agree, it's not going to be sufficient.
If we're going to spend all that money to do a mailing to mm-hmm. all the customers, I think we ought to think about putting more information in it.
Mm-hmm.
Like our website address and some of the, a little bit about some of the things that people can find on that, and maybe a little bit about we're trying to work on this infrastructure project and decide the scope and what it's going to mean for, a raise in customer rates.
I think that's a great idea.
Right, because we have a few of our hearty fans here that are, attend meetings or either that have an in person or on Zoom, but there's a lot of other people out there that could probably, it would help to have that information get to them.
Absolutely. Every water district customer.
I agree. Otherwise, you're going to have a mess on your hands when that first bill comes out.
Oh.
Or the chlorination or anything.
Anything, yeah.
So,
everything has to be out there as far as I'm concerned. And it has not been in the past.
So I'm feeling a little tension here, though, between timeliness of getting the word about chlorination and having more information about things other than the chlorination. Mm. But I also agree, Pat, how much does a mailing cost us to the district, roughly?
What's postage now? Postage is
$0.59?
Like that?
I'm not sure. I haven't bought stamps in a
while.
We have 147 customers.
That include all our commercials? Well,
There it's about 155 with the commercials.
Okay, the commercials. Okay.
So that's about just a little under $100 maybe.
Mm-hmm. Nonetheless, it needs to be done as far as I'm concerned.
Right.
I agree, but it's, you know, with every mailing, it is going to be an expense. If we send out something, if we do it all at once, it will be half the cost. If we do two separate mailings, it'll be twice the cost. I'm wondering if we should maybe send out the email, but follow that with more comprehensive information by mail.
Right.
And also have that available by email.
And it's going to be a little tricky to the timing of it. Like, who knows what we're going to find out 2 or 3 months from now. You know, we can give people a heads up this might be coming, but
yeah, I think
going to know the certainty of it.
Yeah, I mean, all we can tell them is what we know.
Right.
But I think we do need to inform them in a timely fashion about what we do know and the initial steps we're taking.
And, I agree, Dan. I totally agree.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And we're probably already behind the grapevine.
So, yes. Mm-hmm.
It's also possible to put a fair amount of information in a note box right on the face of our bills that go out either by USPS or by email.
I don't get a bill and have not seen a bill in years.
I don't either.
Right. Because a lot of people prepay, so they I don't get a bill.
I don't get a bill.
I make sure it gets out there. So
that's
true.
I'm not saying that that's a substitute. I'm saying that's an additional way.
Additional,
to let people know that they need to look a little further to find more information.
That would be good. Yeah, I understand now. Thank you.
All right. So,
Patty,
we have 160 people or 160 email addresses on our news email list.
Huh.
But some of those are more than one person in the same household.
Right.
Others are one person per household. But, you know, it's
we have a pretty good amount, it seems like. Though.
Yeah. Yeah, that's not bad. That's
more than we are billing by email, for sure.
Yeah. Well, that's more email addresses than accounts.
Right.
But not everybody on the email list necessarily has an account, and certainly there are people with accounts that are in the email list. Yeah, I mean, it's
right, and some people have email, but they want their bill in paper form. There are a few of those. So.
I have a question. Okay. I have a question.
Communication.
Buzz has a question.
Buzz?
For Patty?
Yes.
Patty, you don't think that what we did yesterday, if you multiply that times 20 and those people mm-hmm. have an opportunity to talk to others, that I would think word of mouth about something like that would spread
very quickly. No.
I don't agree, Buzz. And also, I was just going to throw something else out there. So when you have a renter, a permanent renter in a home, who gets the water bill?
Depends, I think.
I wasn't suggesting that as the only way, but when Janice started talking about mailing out letters, I thought, oh my God. I used to be a newsletter editor for a fairly large organization before anybody had emails. And you know, I'd have a stack of envelopes to lick and newsletters to fold every month, and it was a sizable, you know, back for cheaper, it was a fair expense and one heck of a lot of work. And if there's only 35 people, I'm not I'm not saying we wouldn't do it, but I'm just looking at it realistically. If you've got the emails, the amount of people, and there's only 35 we're missing, couldn't we try emailing everybody and then those 35 that don't get
the letter,
just try that first and see. Also, just reach out like I've been doing and talking to individuals, kind of a combination, to see if that wouldn't work. And the web page.
Yeah.
How often do you talk to most of your neighbors that you don't know?
How often do I?
Yeah. Well, you probably do because of your position, but I don't. I mean, I talk to my friends in the neighborhood. I don't go knocking on doors saying, hey, you guys better be aware of this. They may be chlorinating. Or no. They may be raising the bill or whatever. I mean, I'm not going to do that. I don't know who, you know, it's not my responsibility, really, to do that. It's the water district.
Yes,
I mean,
yes, ma'am.
I don't know, unless I'm misunderstanding what you're asking me.
I'm just saying that would be one facet.
Well, can I, maybe.
Prejudice.
I just want to say one thing. I used to work with the water district. I did the billings. Peggy took my position and then Whitney, I guess, stepped into Peggy's position. So years ago, I did the water bills. And yes, I sent out a water bill every month to every patron in the district. And at the time, we had over 200 I sent out every month. And so if you need somebody to put stickers and labels on envelopes and stuff envelopes, I'll be glad to do that. But I really
and I'll help.
And I think really mail reaches everybody. We just have to cover everybody in every way so nobody can come back and say, I didn't know. Right. And it can be done. So anyway, I'm willing to help with the mailing if that is going to happen.
May I mention too that we need to disregard the idea of sending postcards for anything, because mm-hmm. one of the reasons we went to QuickBooks and started making paper bills in envelopes was because there were numerous complaints continually about the postcards getting sorted in with magazine pages, and
they get lost easily. Yeah,
that was a huge issue. I think we just need to notify everybody in every way.
Yep.
I agree. And if we have to spend some money to do that, we need to do that.
Yep.
Okay.
So my grandma called belt and suspenders to keep your pants up.
Right.
Yep.
Okay. Infrastructure scope and funding options. Do we have anything more we need to talk?
Well, we were discussing scope.
Right.
And I didn't feel like we were. I was just basically tearing what little hair I have out, but. Do we want to look at options other than the entire project? Lisa, I may have misunderstood something you said last night. It sounded like you were skeptical that we could get funding for less than the full project. Is that what you had said?
No, we can get funding for this cycle, but the problem is that we might not get funding for the next cycle.
Yeah.
Right.
So if we're gonna go for it, you know, it's a crapshoot. It's like, you know, might as well go to the casino and say, hey, let it ride, or you know, whatever. And right. I support whatever the board wants to do, but I look at numbers every day, so you know, yeah. I just get freaked out about them.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so if we did a subset, if we scaled down the current scope to what we thought was the most critical for the system, that would basically, that would be what we would, we'd apply for that amount, and you did not get a feeling that there's any sort of prejudice over, you know, what kind of scope a district was.
It really depends on who's it. Honestly, because it's the federal government, whoever is in charge next may change all the rules.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we don't know. We just don't know if we're going to be prejudiced because we have this loan out. I can tell you this, because we don't have any debt right now, we are favorable to them. The more debt we have, the less favorable we are. Because, you know, and then we have to add in more. They're always going to be 40 years loans. So, you know, this thing is going to stretch out for till, you know, we're dust and beyond, all of us. So that is my concern. Mm-hmm. Because you don't know.
Right.
It's a total crapshoot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I mean, honestly, you know, and I assume if the economy goes up and they have a lot of money and they're flush, the interest rates will go up. Well, obviously, but they may look at our debt and say, "Oh, they're a good risk." You know, they're paying off their debt. You know, or they may say, "No, sorry, you know, your debt's way too much for your amount of customers. You were lucky to get this loan at the first time." You know, and so you're out of luck.
But they're willing to loan us the money that would increase our rates by like almost three times.
Yes.
A little under three times. And they don't see a problem with us not being able to pay it back.
No. And that's one of the reasons is because the one of the reasons it really sucks for us, because we are too wealthy in their demographics to afford to get any grants. I mean, we as a community make too much money, unlike Steel Rock, who's, you know, very impoverished. And I don't know why, and we don't have access to that, and we can't see what they see. But that's why we can't get any grants, because we're wealthy, according to them, whatever. Yeah, exactly. But, you know, we can't set those rules and we can't figure out what they're looking at.
Do we know if it's based on all property owners?
Yes.
It must be all property owners and not just residents.
Yes.
Yeah. Hmm. Interesting.
And that 140 was a month was, they didn't separate out the commercial units. It was 140 for everyone.
That would be
so. You know, if we you know, raise the commercial rates, and then if we tier our rate structure where we have, you know, more for vacation rentals, more for B&B, you know, Airbnbs, you know, more whatever, you know, all of this
or
stuff.
Or even measured service.
Exactly.
Right.
Just want to make sure that we can pay the loan back every month.
Right.
Buzz, when you approached Jonathan again about a smaller scope project, could you inquire how a chlorine system would add to either the whole project or the reduced scope project?
Pat, I'm sorry, repeat that part of the question after.
I would like to know from Jonathan.
Yeah.
If we went for either the full project or a partial project, if we have to install a chlorinator system, what that would add to either one of those projects.
He's got a lot of fat in those numbers. And I'd be really surprised if it added anything, but I'll ask him. He said in the letter that it was $3.35 million, but he had every reason to believe that if there weren't any horrid, unforeseeable things happen, that it would come in for under $3 million. So, you know, to me, that's like $400,000 fat, maybe. But I'll ask him.
Okay, thank you.
And just for clarification purposes, regardless of which scope we do, we will have to add the meters, because that is one of the conditions of the loans.
Yes.
Yes.
And we have to get it all done all once, all none of this $50, you know.
I have a question, Lisa.
Yes.
So can we continue? I mean, even if we say we're including 100 meters, all right? But if it's perfectly okay if we continue to install them on their own.
Yes, that's preferable. They're willing to give us a grace, because technically we need to have all the water meters in before we even start applying for loans, but they are willing to, because we have made progress, they are willing to say, okay.
Right, and so we can fold the remaining ones
into whatever's remaining into the loan.
Right.
It's both the lottery and the federal fund, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. Any other questions that anyone has?
Buzz, were you going to provide us with some listing of what you are thinking of in the limited scope project?
Not until after. The distribution system is pretty much a self-contained unit. I mean, we can pull it right out of Jonathan's estimate.
Mm-hmm.
I'll have to talk to Jonathan about some of the areas that I think may need some work, and get back to you.
Right.
So your limited scope project that you discussed last night is the distribution system and nothing to do with the tank part.
No, opposite.
Opposite.
It's the tank farm. Okay.
Okay.
And my email today, there's some places in the distribution system that need to be fixed pretty soon. As an example, the pipe bridge where that car ran into it. We've got to address that. There was some rotten pipe down by where Barry Brown put his subdivision in when he tapped into it. We need to have a look at that. There's a leak over on Ellie near First. We need to think about that, but I need to talk to Jonathan about that, those things.
And also, there will be meters that will, whatever meters we have remaining will be probably on the old parts that we're not replacing the distribution system. Is that correct?
That's good. One meter.
Yeah, we'd probably have to lump the meters.
Yep.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yep.
Okay, any other questions? Okay, let's review what people are doing. Make sure we've got this down. Buzz is gonna start a draft of a letter for the state. Dan is gonna work on a communication for the customers. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. I'm gonna send out a little thing on roles, and we can of the different the officer roles, and we can all look at that and make suggestions. Mm-hmm. Pat, you can send out those forms, right? Or do those forms need certain person signatures?
No, I can do that.
They just need to know.
I plan to do that first thing tomorrow.
Okay.
Hey, Beth.
Uh-huh.
I'm just thinking about something Pat asked a while ago. If I'd sit down with Jonathan to talk about the various lines and this and that over a drawing of the distribution system, I need to do that face to face. So I would prefer to do that. And I'd still, if somebody wanted to come along to, I'll check with Jonathan to make sure, but if somebody wants to come along with me and listen in, I still think it would be a good thing. I don't, a Zoom meeting, talking to all of us, I don't see the benefit of that right now.
Because you'd be looking at paper maps and they don't have it electronic.
Because
they can, you can put stuff up on the screen that's from your computer.
Let me just go back.
But it would be trickier.
She accompanied me when we met with MSC. We took notes and we reported back to the board. And she met with Jim and Jonathan and I. Jim, Jonathan, Pat, and I met a second time, and we talked about the inspection we were going to do. And we reported back to the board on that. But that worked out. And the only reason I'm saying two members couldn't come along with me is because I'm not, you know, the open meetings law and those ramifications. But if we could do that, that would be twice as good.
Mm-hmm.
But I would like a sit down with him face to face.
Right.
Over the table.
Right.
When will you know a week that you're going to do that? I mean, what do you think it's a week or two out, or?
Well, no, I got to call him this week because this whole thing about the reduced scope, he doesn't know anything about it. I haven't talked to him.
Okay.
And so I'm springing something on him I have other reasons to go over to the Valley next week, probably. I can always come up with a reason. So, pending his schedule, could try to do it next week.
Yeah.
But I can draft a letter to the state in the meantime and change it accordingly.
You know. Right. I can get that started.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I would like to clarify if we are now reversing the decision made on the 15th of July to pursue the full scope project.
I don't know.
I think it's been a consideration.
I said at the start of the meeting we were discussing that. And where I was coming from when I brought when I broached the whole subject yesterday.
I guess the way I'm perceiving this is that we're developing an option. Do you feel like we've abandoned at this point the whole scope option?
Well, at that work session, we did take a vote.
We did.
We did.
Yeah.
And
I can check.
Seconded such motion.
Shame on me. I changed my mind, Pat. God.
Right. I mean, not what I'm saying. I'm saying there was a unanimous vote to do one thing, and now we seem to be going a different direction. That's all I'm
saying.
We made a motion to proceed to try to do the entire project. Yes. And some people, I think, are having second thoughts about that. Mm-hmm. And maybe, I think we need to do more speaking with the customers, the community, and getting more input.
I'm not disagreeing with that perspective. I'm just, do we need to rescind that motion we made?
No.
I.
We haven't made a decision to abandon that yet.
No.
We're just discussing, should we do a partial, and Buzz is gonna do some more inquiry into that. Buzz, how many people did you speak with, approximately?
Four.
Oh, four, okay.
I still kind of like to do that. I've got a meeting scheduled with the hydrologist, Eric. Well, I don't have it scheduled. I told him I wanted to meet with him, and he said fine. So I'll maybe get with him either this weekend or the first part of the week. And by the way, I'd like to have another board member with me, if that's possible.
Right. When are you doing that?
Are you still up for it, Beth?
Depends on when it is.
Okay, I'll find out.
I do have some stuff scheduled next week, so
I'll
appointment.
I'll call you. I'll find out when, and then I'll run it by you to see if it's okay.
Okay.
Right.
We've also talked about having some other work sessions on some other items, and I don't want to let those just be forgotten. So did you have something else, Lisa?
Yeah, I want us to keep in the back of our minds which option of loan we're going to have, because one takes a lot longer and it's a pre-approval process with the feds. So
the feds is the longer one.
Even if we don't know what scope of work, if we decide we go that way, I don't, until you register and log in, you won't know what they need. But if we're going to go that route, then we should at least start thinking about going to their website and seeing what we need to do. So I know we're not ready to make a decision on which loan we want to go for, but we just need to put that in our back of our brains somewhere.
Right.
Would it be possible, given my aging memory, for me to find somewhere the description, or do we already have one and I've forgotten it, of the differences in the restrictions between two loans as far as the additional hoops the feds require?
We have a rough draft, but we won't know until we get in there what they want, because they treat it differently.
Okay.
I know they want, you know, the steel, they want the bully wages. The big question is,
how about environmental?
They're 99% sure that we're going to need to do an environmental report.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Yep, they're 99% sure we're going to have to do it because of the mountain on the hillside.
Is that the feds, Lisa?
That's with the feds, yeah.
Yeah.
The state is 50-50 on that, from my recollection.
Say that again?
The state is 50-50 on that.
Okay.
Interesting. So when do we want to do our next work session, and what do we want to do it on? Or, what topic do we want to tackle? What is the most important work? I'm looking at my calendar here. We have the SDC and we have our rates as two of them that I can recall besides our project and funding.
Right. So
I think obviously we need to meet again on, but Dan, you said you were going to be busy for the next week or so, or next.
Well, I can meet by Zoom. I'm pretty sure whenever you want. If where the trailer is parked does not have good internet, I can drive to where I do have decent connectivity. So, you know, meeting by Zoom should not be an issue.
Okay.
I'm also thinking both for district and family reasons, I'll probably be taking a car with me rather than leave Wendy and my grandson stranded in the trailer while I take off in the truck. So TMI, but anyway,
right.
No, I can.
You might be able to fit it in.
Well, I certainly will be able to attend online meetings and.
Right. Okay.
If no one else is driving over with Buzz to Corvallis, boy, that's a tempting thing too. To come, you know, I'm not going to be further than a few hours away.
Ah. Oh, okay. What do we want to meet on first? Should we better this SDC thing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We better meet on that.
Can I ask a question about that?
Yes.
We both, Dan and I talked about it, and I acted unilaterally and contacted Jonathan and asked him to have a look at it. So I haven't talked to him since, and I think there's a good chance he hasn't started on it, but he may have. I have a favor to ask the board. You trusted my judgment on inputting to Jonathan my suggestions about the system as far as added pressure, better fire flow, new tank versus fixing the old one, yada, yada, yada. And you trusted me to take over Jim's job and talk to Amy and sample and help with training Cody. I'm asking you to trust my judgment on this SDC thing when I tell you the mythology is seriously flawed. And we need to get a second opinion. Get out in front of it, because the issue is not going to go away. And I don't want to have to defend it if indeed Jonathan agrees with me and gives us a second opinion that it is flawed. So what I'm asking is, let's let him continue with it. And give us back an opinion and hold discussion of the SDC thing in abeyance until such time as we get an opinion.
Okay, can you get, if you're gonna talk to him soon, can you get some kind of rough idea of when we could expect more information on it?
I can.
That would be good.
Now that we are in public meeting and can deliberate about the subject, I would like to pipe up and say that I've spent some time looking at and trying to understand the SDC methodology that Civil West used. And the harder I look at it, the more baffling and arbitrary and pulled out of, shall we say, someone's ear, it appears. So I heartily endorse having another water-oriented engineer having a look at that and telling us whether is that methodology really standard and defensible or not, because
right, well,
it when you actually look at it, it's even things as fundamental as defining the current capacity of the system. And remember, SDCs are for things that increase capacity. I think it's just mind-boggling, and it doesn't seem to have a rational basis, at least that I can understand. So I would really heartily endorse having another engineer look at that and tell us whether it actually is the standard methodology, if it makes sense. I really, having spent a lot more time wrestling with it in the last couple of weeks, I just, I need some expert, personally, I need some expert advice to tell me that it really does fly when it gets challenged, because, you know.
What flies? The amount of the SDC?
No. It's the method at which you arrive at the amount.
Right, but which equates to what we've established as the amount.
Right. So
but I think we've got another aspect that, and that.
Yes, we have to adjust the amount.
And I was reading the statutes, and there's some pretty interesting stuff.
Yeah.
Which is actually in our ordinance language, but not quite the same. And the statutes, there's a lot of detail, I was surprised, in the Oregon statutes on the SDC.
Yeah.
And
you know, all the precautions, all the things you have to go through to avoid double dipping, for example. Mm-hmm.
Right. So there's, to me, there's two parts of this puzzle that mm-hmm. I feel I need to figure out. And one is the SDC correct amount? Did they do the, you know, is the methodology correct for them to come up with that number?
Mm-hmm.
Because we've had an SDC, we had an SDC before. And we're allowed to have it under the statutes, but then what appears to be Barry Brown challenging it, does he have any, does his challenge have any merit at all based on the limitations of the statutes?
Right. Where is he standing regarding the $75,000 that he spent on the system? The only, and correct me if I'm wrong, Dan, that money's been spent.
Mm-hmm.
There may be, and this is way, way out future, in the future, there's a good chance we'll be using some of the things he has already built, new 6-inch line, crossing Watercrest Highway, that's about where we want to cross with a 6-inch line.
Mm-hmm.
But we may use his line that he's already put in, and one could.
Which is our line.
Take in place.
But it's our line now.
Yeah.
Yeah, our line.
Right.
But he put it in, yeah.
Right.
We may, there. One could maybe make an argument that it's saving us the money that we would have otherwise had to spend, and accordingly maybe some rebate.
Yeah, there
right, well there is provision for credit, but there's some pretty strict language on it, and they specifically talk about a development, and this is in both the our ordinance and the statutes, about it cannot be on private property or even contiguous to private property.
Beth, all I've just been
So that's what I'm saying. That language needs to be, you know, studied and discussed.
Right.
But
and, yeah, and also
that tonight, but
you can't give an SDC credit to someone who is not paid the SDC. So it would have to be on some other basis altogether.
And see, he's not paying the SDC. It's this future people that are doing it. So we can't give him a credit because he's not going to give the future people credit. I mean, it's just
I
think it's someone who has expertise in it, and it may have to be a lawyer would be able to tell us.
Beth, I'm sorry I brought that up.
So this is
the SDC, if we look at it, and if the engineer agrees with us, we get a second opinion, and according to his calculations, the SDC is substantially less than what we're asking. And if we get that opinion from him, and then we talk to a lawyer, and he agrees, and then if it's determined we can reduce the SDC by X amount of dollars, then the benefit would be to those people who are going to buy his lots.
Right.
Only if they buy them after the SDC has been reduced, maybe. If not.
No.
Right. Well, okay. So, yeah. We may be able to, negotiate it. If we do have the SDC go down, it may be palatable to Mr. Brown, and we don't know.
Let's
talk about that in another meeting.
And I think Buzz is right. I think if we're going, unless you think we need, if the meeting is going to be too long and we need a preliminary meeting just to educate ourselves about the SDC, we won't have the information we want. We don't want to schedule a meeting before we know we'll have the information from the engineer about
the
methodology.
Right.
So I think that's what you were trying to say, right, Buzz?
Yeah. So we need to wait.
Okay.
To have at least part of the discussion on it.
Okay.
And
I would like
the entire
I would like to hear the board make a motion to agree to make payments to an attorney or an engineer or some other consultant about the subject matter.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we've already asked him to do it. Isn't that kind of...
Who's the we who asked him to do it?
Beg your pardon?
I think Pat's saying that the board should back that up.
We should make a motion to...
Yeah. Since it's an expenditure.
Commit to it officially.
Okay.
Is that what you're saying, Pat?
Well, we can't. We are making an expenditure that is not part of our existing budget.
It kind of is, Pat. You got some left over from when he did this estimate. His payment for this estimate was about 25% of what we had allowed for it. As I recall, there's $2,600 for engineering. If you're going to split hairs and say, well, that was for the master plan or the infrastructure, now we're talking about the SCC, then I guess, well, okay, fine.
I think it would be appropriate for us to make this official, if we are in agreement, or if a majority of us are in agreement,
we could someone could make a motion, and if someone seconded, we could have further discussion.
There you go.
Voted on it.
I move that we engage Cascade Water Works to have a look at the methodology of our current SDC.
A second.
A second. Okay, discussion. Is there any more discussion on it? Buzz, did you have something?
No, just, I think we've pretty well discussed it already.
Okay. Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Dan, aye. Aye.
No.
Aye.
No.
Lisa?
I have qualms, so I'm going to say no.
Okay. That's three aye, two nay. The motion carries. So we'll wait and Buzz will check and see when we might expect that review, results of that review by Jonathan or Cascade Waterworks, right?
Yep.
Okay. And
the same conversation when we talked to him about sorting out what a reduced scope might look out.
Right.
Needing to do that.
So it sounds like we should wait on a work session for the SBC, or do people want to discuss other aspects of it?
Well,
go ahead, Dan.
There is another topic waiting out there, and that is what's the right descriptive term? The classifications of customers and our rate structure. Is that a good way to put
it? Yeah, the rate structure is another work session that we want to have.
Right.
I was just asking if there was any other reason to have an FDC.
Oh, I'm sorry, I misunderstood.
Any other aspect of it that would be warrant a work session? If not, I think we should wait for information.
I agree. I'm sorry. Emily Littell it again. Never mind.
That's okay. So then you just segued into what I was going to ask next. Then
okay.
We have that as a topic needing discussion is rate structures. And I see it, or a rate, part of that is our definition of dwelling units and how we define different types of accounts.
Mm-hmm.
So when can we meet on that? Does anyone have a preference? Or
how much of an agenda do we have already for the next board meeting? Could it be part of that?
No.
I think it warrants a work session. It's bound to get too lengthy. And I think it would really help. And I, in the back of my head, we can get quite a bit of data collecting on how other people define different structures and how other water utilities have their rates set and how they define the different types of units. And so it'd be good to gather that. And I just have a feeling it would be more than we want to handle in just a regular meeting.
I agree.
And we talked about last time, we talked about having a work session on that.
Dan, so, when
could someone do it sometime the week after next? That's the week of the 24th.
Okay. Yeah.
26, 27, 28, 29. That gives us a week off of meeting.
That would be nice.
Would that be a novel idea?
Yeah, as long as it's not on Monday, I'm good.
Okay, no Mondays. I'm pretty open that week, so I just have to, you know, get out the garbage. And no, that's the next week. Okay.
Tuesday's the day of the week that we meet a lot. How does that sound?
Tuesday? Sounds good. That would be the 25th of August. Does that sound like that would work?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, let's schedule that.
Okay.
Okay. Dan.
So could we assign a little homework?
Yeah.
Instead of one person having to gather all this information and disseminate it to everybody.
Right.
There's lots of information to be had by looking at what our other local water districts are doing, but mm-hmm. the main source should possibly be what Lincoln County and Newport and Lincoln City are doing.
Doing as far as what part of it?
Defining the terms for
dwelling units and commercial units, or
commercial versus residential, and
okay. So you do want to split it up
short-term rentals versus long-term rentals,
right? Do you want to split it up by city? You want,
or category? Do you want me to look at
category, or yeah,
look at some other water districts' rates, for example, collect that information.
So, right.
And
what are you thinking of, Pat?
My thought was, why can't everybody just go start reading some stuff?
Yeah, but we don't want to duplicate each other's efforts.
But everybody should be learning on their own about these subjects.
Right, but we could.
Would you like me to
find things and then send links out, or references to the other people, and by the time we meet again, hopefully we'd all have a chance to look at those.
And I suggest too that, I will send a document out that has what is being used in the office to define our rates,
mm-hmm.
and there are no descriptions of definitions for what the dwelling units are. Mm-hmm. But
we need to find.
But that particular document also does not correspond 100% with what's posted on the website as
right. well. And I do need that, because I do need to update and correct what's currently on the website.
I have no idea which one of these two versions is the correct.
Well, our current ordinance would be the correct, wouldn't it?
If that is our most recent ordinance.
Right.
No way of knowing that.
Madam Chairman.
Yes, sir.
Let me just put a fly in the ointment here.
Thanks.
Are we really going to waste a lot of time doing all this research looking at residential unit rates, and almost in the same breath considering raising the base rate by $90 to $140, and then worrying about whether somebody is a duplex or if they have a room in their house that they're renting out to somebody and charging them extra? I mean, that's ludicrous. Have we really thought this through?
Well, we have quite, I've heard a lot of comments from some of our customers that they want to know why we aren't charging more for short-term rentals, and are the commercial people really paying enough? And I don't know the answer to that.
I get a lot of questions about that, especially about the short-term rentals, and especially during summer when the water rates just, the usage just goes skyrocketing, and you know, the residents don't use that much, but all the short-term rentals, it's just, it's crazy.
And I do know, you know, Beverly Beach charges short-term rentals more like a commercial rate than a residential rate. They make a distinction.
I guess what I'd like to say is that I view this as a chance to take a larger view picture rather than just tinkering with ADUs and looking at what is our rational basis for charging people for water. We are going to have debt service that's independent of how much water we use. We are going to have the expense of maintaining the system. We have a little bit of expense probably in treating the water, but it's not as if we are paying some other outfit that supplies us by a pipeline per unit of water. If water costs you so much a gallon, then you have more of a rationale. In our situation, I think we need to take a close look at a rationale for how our rates are structured. And certainly seeing what surrounding communities do will be useful information, but some of them have a much higher cost per 1,000 gallons for water production than we do.
And so
part of it is, what does the water actually cost? And part of it's going to be, what's the rationale for what a fair share of access to that water supply is? I mean, those are.
I have a question about the state park.
Mm-hmm.
I think I've talked to Dan about this a little bit previously.
Right, you sent in a thing through the website.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, Dan and I get those public comment forms.
Yeah.
Well, my question is, I wanted to know how much they paid for their water last month, and I guess that's going to take some doing to get that figure. But the way this summer has been going in Otter Rock, we are like, it's like we live in the state park, and I just would like to know what they're paying, and I think they should pay more, because I bet you a buck that they don't pay a fair share of the use of the water that they're using. And with those funds,
all the commercial accounts do, though. They pay an overage fee if they use more than the base amount of water.
And what my question to Dan was, I'd like to know the dollar figure for this. I've been told that I'm not allowed to know what the most pay because it's private. I don't know that that would be. I don't really care about that. I mostly care about the state park and how they pay, what they pay. Because with the extra money that we could get from those fees, we could pay for a lot of maintenance in this neighborhood. And then I have one other thing to say. It doesn't deal with this, but I didn't get really an answer. I guess as far as Stan and I are concerned, we feel like every property owner needs to get these notices about the chlorination, not just the people with structures. Every property owner should be aware of the status of the water district where they own property. Mm. So that would include a lot more people than you might have on your water list. You'd have to get that from the county. And I would be glad to do that if you guys don't have time. But that's my feeling on that matter, but that was something else. I didn't get that question back in there. But if a homeowner is paying, they need to get the notice. Well, nonetheless, they all need to get a notice. But anyway, and the deal with the state park, I'm just curious about how much they paid in comparison to what I pay every month, which is, $50.
I think that should be ethically accessible.
Yeah, thank you.
They're public but agency, probably.
I have a further question, Patty. When you say property owner, do you mean people that own bare lots, or do you mean?
Yes. Okay. Yes. I think they need to know the status of the water district, because truthfully, the water district works for all of the property owners, not just the people that have houses. That's how I look at it. I mean, and if I had property here and there's going to be chlorination or a rate raise or whatever it is, I think, you know, they should at least be made aware of that. And maybe they don't care, but they are part of the community, even if they don't have a house. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong, but that's my opinion.
Okay, that's your opinion.
Yeah. Thank you. Thanks.
I would like to come back in here. The discussion I asked for about definitions of dwelling units and which rates apply to which property, whether it's a commercial, residential, an ADU, or a duplex, is not motivated in any way and has nothing to do with the actual rate structure that's in existence right now.
Okay, it's how we're applying it.
It is how we are applying it. It's a billing question. There are people who refuse to pay their bill at the present time because they don't agree with how we're doing that, etc. That's why the question has come up, and it's been hanging out there for a long time.
Yeah.
Well, I actually feel like we ought to be revisiting our rate structure every year on an annual basis, but that's just my opinion.
I also just want to throw in that definitions vary. There are dwelling types, but also if you look at the methodology that we currently have, there's the concept of EDU, equivalent dwelling units, and they actually have a table that came from somewhere. As far as if you're thinking at all about water usage, and maybe usage won't be the basis, but different sorts of businesses and apartments and you name it have been assigned EDU values.
Right.
Basically, you know, comparing it to, I guess, an average resident's home.
Okay, well, that's what we need to discuss.
Right.
And I leave it.
And so we're going to discuss that on Tuesday, the 25th.
Yeah, on the 25th.
Are we
at 6:00?
Can I leave it with one thought?
Mm-hmm.
We need to remember that we are a service organization. We need to pay for the system, and we need to collect money from people. But the fact remains is most of the year, there's more water flowing out of that mountain than we are able to use. And I don't like all those people down in the state park parking lot and gathering at the punch bowl and the tourists without their masks or anything like that. But it's not our place to be punitive. We have to realize how much water we have and how much we can dispense and how much it costs us to dispense it. And if so I just need to remember that.
Thanks, Buzz. I would say we're finished with our agenda.
Okay.
I would entertain a motion to adjourn the meeting unless anyone has any other items.
I move we adjourn the meeting.
I second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Beth?
Yes.
Lisa?
Yes.
Buzz?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you, guys. Meeting adjourned at 8:17.
Good night.
Good night.
See you in a bit.